Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
5 years ago, 4.5 years ago or whatever, called The Redeemed Life. Everyone say The Redeemed Life. Say it again, the redeemed life, the red life, the red life. If you didn't know it, if you didn't know what Red Life Church stood for, and I still run into people in the community that have no idea what that means, red is simply short for the word redemption. The actual name of our church is Redemption Life Church, and we call it Red Life Church for short, the red life. But here's what you have to understand. More than just a catchy name, more than just a cool name or something that we can make a cool logo out of, or something that just kind of sounds fun to say or sounds spiritual to say, what you've got to understand about the idea, at the very core and foundation of what God has called this place to be and the vision that God has placed in our hearts for this type of church and this type of movement is what the red life means, okay? And this is the first thing you got to understand. Listen to me close. Everybody listen. In fact, everybody, just real quick off the bat, we're going to lean in. I'll just whisper in your ear for just a second. Listen to me close, guys. The red life is not designed to be a place that we go to. Rather, it's a life that we live. The redeemed life. Amen? Jesus did not die on the cross 2,000 years ago and resurrect from the dead and give us all the spiritual gifts and all the blessings that he's blessed us with and promised us through his word. He did not give us all those things just so that we could live a normal, just everyday, kind of boring, mundane life. No, God has a redeemed life in store and in mind for you and I to live. Amen? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, the redeemed life. Say it again, the redeemed life. So right off the bat, I want you to understand that the redeemed life, or we'll say the red life for short, the red life is not just, Red Life Church is not just a place for us to come on Sunday morning for an hour and a half or 2 hours or 4 hours, depending on how long I preach. But we're not going to be here 4 hours, guys, I promise you, okay? I'm only going to preach for about 10 minutes today. It's going to take me 30 minutes to get to the preaching, but I'm only going to preach for 10 minutes. That's how it works, okay? So anyway, listen. So the Red Life Church, this is not this an idea that we're not here to create a cool place for you to come once a week and get a little encouragement, a little spiritual boost, but I want you to understand that redemption is not a place to go, but it's a life to live. And we call it the redeemed life or the red life, amen? So for us to live the red life, we're going to have to understand what it means to be redeemed, what redemption actually means. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, if you put the first version on the screen, I'm going to read it from two versions today. This is Colossians 1, 13 and 14, and it's kind of one of the foundational scriptures for our church, for our vision, what God's called us to be. Says, for he is talking about Jesus, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. Everyone say redemption. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So for the next few weeks, probably for the rest of this month, we're going to be talking about specifically what it means to live, what is, and what it means to live the red life. Everyone say the red life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint our minds, our ears, and our hearts to see, to understand, and to receive everything that you have for us, God, today and over the next few weeks, Lord. And I pray in this place today, I'm believing that even beginning today and over the next couple of weeks as we dig in to this idea of the red life, Lord, I'm believing in Jesus' name that someone's faith is going to be awakened. God, I believe that we are going to experience an awakening in our faith and in our souls to begin to seek you harder, to go after you more, and to live the life that you have called us to live for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Do me a favor. Put your hand on your belly somewhere. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see, so I can do what you want me to do and be all you've called me to be. in Jesus' name. Amen. The red life. Everybody say the red life. How many of you ever ordered something online and you put the thing in your cart and you find out what you want, you get your cart all set up, and then you click that checkout button on the screen, and it goes to checkout, and you start putting all your payment information in, you put your shipping information in, you check out the score, but then at the bottom of all that information, sometimes there's that one little box that says enter in a coupon code. Anybody seen the coupon code? And you want to redeem. How many have ever then gotten out of that or gone to a different window and Googled to try to find a coupon code for whatever thing, you know what I mean, whatever thing. Have you ever done that? Sometimes it works. Most of the time, you just end up clicking on a whole bunch of clickbait sites that are designed to get your information, take your money, very rarely. But sometimes you can end it awesome that sometimes you can find a code for 20% off, 30% off, 10% off, whatever, and you punch that little coupon code in, you hit the button, and you what? You redeem that coupon, right? You redeem that coupon. Does anybody still use paper coupons? How many, does anybody clip coupons in here? No. Awesome, great job. I knew a guy one time, he was, and this was a big thing a few years ago. I don't know if it's still a big thing because every business now has, it's like you can't even shop at CVS unless you're a member of their club now, right? Or Walmart or Kroger, anywhere else. You got to have that little, your little identification card. I think it's part of the mark of the beast. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's true or not. My mom probably thinks that, but she doesn't. But there was a time where she thought that every technological advance that came out, that was a sign of, that was a mark of the beast. I remember the old, that's old school Pentecost, right? Amen. And she's not old school Pentecostal, but that was like, everything was like, that's the mark of the beast. That's the mark of the beast. You know what I mean? Anyway, she's laughing, but she knows that some of that's a little bit true. Okay, so it's Mother's Day. I'm allowed to pick on her. So anyway. But you redeemed that coupon. I knew a guy one time, man, he was a big couponer, and that was like couponing was like a big deal. And man, he would walk into a store and he would walk out with like three grocery carts full of stuff. And because of all the coupons he did, he would walk out with like $15 that they gave him. It was like amazing how he would do that. So what happened? He redeemed a coupon. Everybody say redemption. So we kind of understand this idea of redemption. What it means to redeem. At the very base level, what it means to redeem something or what redemption means is this. It means to purchase back or to buy back, okay? It has the idea of something's been made available to you, but you don't have it in your possession yet, but you have the goods or you have the authority to redeem it, to lay claim to it, to lay possession of it, but you have to exercise your right of redemption in order to purchase back or buy back the thing that actually belonged to you in the first place. Everybody know what I'm saying? Redemption, to purchase again, to buy back, to redeem back. So when, put that first scripture back up there, the NIV version, back up there one more time for me. It says, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What it's technically saying is that Jesus in Christ, he has bought us back. He has purchased us again. He has redeemed us. And the New Living Translation really kind of gives us that exact definition in that text. I'm going to read it from that as well. And then we're going to move on and dig into this idea of redemption. The New Living Translation, it'll be on the screen, says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So the New Living, this translation puts that idea of redemption, meaning to purchase, says Jesus has purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That is redemption. That is someone has purchased us, bought us back to restore us back to where we were supposed to be. Or I say redemption. Or I say redemption. Now let's break this down a little bit. Just leave that scripture up there for a little while. It says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus, redemption means this. It means, first off, that Jesus has purchased us out of or from the kingdom of darkness. Okay? Every single one of us born, we are born into darkness. We are born, another way to say that, is that we are born into sin. Amen? Don Freeze, you're a great guy. But when you were born, you were not a great guy. You were a sinner. And in fact, as great as a guy as you are, without Jesus, you're still a sinner. Correct? Right. As great a guy as Don is, he's still born into darkness. You understand what I'm saying? myself. I'm not going to say that I'm a great guy because you might disagree with me, and I think it sounds kind of prideful and arrogant, so I'm not going to say that. But I might, as great as a guy as I could be, without Jesus, I'm in darkness. Okay? So this has nothing to do really with how good of a person you are, how great of a rule follower you are, just how nice of a person and kind of a person you are, or how charitable of a person you are. The reality is this: apart from Jesus, we are all born into sin. We are all born into darkness. And until the light of Jesus Christ shines in our heart and we accept what Jesus has purchased for us, we will stay and remain in that darkness under the power of sin. Everybody clear on that so far? So I've got to understand, first of all, that before Jesus, I am living in darkness. I am living in sin. I am under the domain or the kingdom of darkness, okay? Jesus, however, came along 2,000 years ago, paid the price with his blood to be able to purchase you and I from that darkness. Praise God. Amen. So we have been purchased from something, okay? Now, what does darkness mean? Darkness is simply the absence of light, okay? The Bible says God is light. So when we say the kingdom of darkness, doesn't mean that we're walking around and we can't see anything. It means that we are in the absence of God's light. We are in the absence of God's presence apart from Jesus. Everybody follow me so far? Okay? Reforming, this may sound very basic. Some of you, this is very elementary, but we've got to lay this foundation before we can truly build and understand what it means to live the red life and what that red life means in our life. So without Christ, everywhere that Christ has not been surrendered to is under the domain or the power of sin, absence of God, darkness, Satan's territory. Amen? Everybody follow me so far? Okay? And this is something that's really important to understand. And it's this: without Christ in my life, I'm leaving myself open to the domain of sin and darkness in my life. Amen? You understand that? See, you do not have to actively pursue the things of darkness for those things to influence your life. You just have to simply refuse to allow your life to be surrendered to the domain of Christ. And by default, you will be under the domain of darkness, and sin will have a hold on your life. Amen? You follow me so far? It's amazing how that works. If I do not have Christ in my life, sin will come naturally. None of us had to get taught how to sin. It comes naturally. You know that? Sin comes naturally. I've never had to sit down and tell my kids how to lie. It comes naturally. Why? Because we're born into darkness. Right? I mean, did any of you ever sit down with your kids and tell them how to tell a lie? Anybody? Anybody remember that lesson? It's not really a lesson we have in parenting. They don't teach us to do that in parenting class, do they? No, of course not. You don't have to teach a kid how to sin. They know how because sin is on the inside of them, because we are all born into sin. Amen? All right, I can't tell if you guys are awake out there, if you guys are just letting this sink in or what. Let me hear you shout amen real quick, everybody. Okay, all right, good. Okay. So we're apart from Christ, we're all under the domain of darkness, but Christ has purchased us out of the domain of darkness. Now, this is key, okay? This is key. It says he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So what happens at the moment of salvation? What happens at the moment that I accept Christ's sacrifice for me on the cross? What happens at the moment that I surrender my life, my past, my present, my future to Jesus? Some of that have happened for you in this room where you raised your hand and you prayed a prayer. And at that moment, not because you just prayed a prayer and said some words, but because your heart was surrendered to God and the words that were coming out of your mouth were just a way to verbalize and vocalize and meld together what was going on the inside, meld that with what's going on the outside. When you did that moment, whatever your salvation experience looked like, listen to me, what that meant, what took place spiritually in that moment, even if you didn't feel anything at all, okay? Let me just take a little aside here. We're going to look at what God's word has said happen when we get redeemed and when we get saved. And we're going to let God's word speak louder than what we may feel. Because some of you have maybe been lied to or maybe bought the idea that, well, I didn't really feel different. I didn't really feel anything. I didn't feel, you know, goosebumps. I didn't feel some warmth come over me when I prayed. So I don't know. Maybe I just need to pray it again, or maybe nothing really happened, or maybe it just didn't really work for me. And here's the deal. If you meant it from your heart, this is what God's word has declared has happened, regardless of what you feel. The feeling is great. But faith operates outside of my feelings. Hallelujah. Amen? So what has happened the moment that I surrender to redemption is that my life spiritually has been transferred from one location to another. Jesus purchased me and removed me from the domain of darkness and transferred me into the, where? Into the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense so far? And this is one thing you've got to get, because this is one thing I think we miss sometimes in the middle. We're real good at preaching that Jesus can save you from your past and save you from your sins. And we focus so much on the fact that Jesus saves us from some stuff, which he does, but sometimes I think as the, not just our church, but the church, I think we've been bad at telling people what Jesus has saved them to. And you've got to understand that Jesus did not just save you from something, he saved you to something. And what we want to talk about over the next couple of weeks is not just what Jesus has saved us from, but recognize what Jesus has saved you to. Amen? Turn to your neighbor right now, give him a high five, and say, Jesus saved you to something. Come on, tell him, Jesus saved you to something. Jesus not only saved you from something, he saved you to something. He saved you to the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. That word kingdom in the Greek is the Greek word basileo. It simply means the domain where a king reigns. In fact, about 2 years ago, we did about 13 weeks on the kingdom, a series called Kingdom Culture. We'll probably dig back into that at some point in the future, in the next 1 to 7 years. Sometime we'll get in there. So I'm not going to go into all the stuff that the kingdom means and represents, but this is one thing you need to understand about the kingdom. Do you know this about Jesus? Do you know that Jesus never preached the gospel of Jesus? Not one time in the New Testament, and this is what we talk about, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the funny thing is, Jesus never preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus preached nothing but the gospel of the kingdom. Everywhere Jesus taught, look it up, every single moment in the New Testament, everything Jesus taught, Jesus said, the Bible says, he came preaching the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. We preach so much the gospel of Jesus, the salvation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the saving from sin, and all that. But we forget, again, Jesus didn't just die to save us from something. He died to save us to something. And the to something he saved us, he wants to get us to, is the kingdom. That's where this idea of living the red life, the redeemed life, comes in from. Amen? The kingdom where Christ reigns. Here's what you need to understand. Verse 14. Not only have we been transferred from the kingdom, but this is really important. You need to understand this idea, how this forgiveness works in our lives. When we forgive somebody here on this earth, we forgive, for the most part, and rightfully so, simply by the volition of our own will. I just, out of the goodness of my heart, or out of the fact that I know God commands me to forgive often, amen? How many would ever forgive anybody if God's word didn't tell you to do it? Like, how many have ever just thought, I'm going to forgive you because I have to? How many have ever said that to somebody when you're forgiving them? Anybody ever said that? Guess what? If you're saying that, you might need to ask God to help you with that forgiveness a little bit. But we forgive by the volition of our own will. What I mean is, we make a choice to forgive. We make a choice to forgive, and as we should, oftentimes not based at all upon what you have done to earn forgiveness. You understand that? So notice Don, I see you over here. I'll pick you're not in the sound booth today, so I can pick on you a little bit over here. So if Don is a jerk, which he never is because he's a great guy, but Don is a jerk to me and offends me, the Bible tells me that I should forgive him without waiting on him to do anything to earn that forgiveness. I should just forgive him because God has forgiven me. Right? Yes? Amen? We all understand that? Okay. It's just so I have to make the choice to forgive. But Jesus, God has forgiven us not on the volition of his own will and good grace, but our forgiveness in Christ is based on the fact that Jesus did, in fact, pay the price for us to be forgiven. Do you understand the subtle difference there? So we receive forgiveness of God not just because God is in heaven saying, I'll just forgive them out of the love of my heart that I have for them. No, Jesus paid the price and showed up with the redemption code, with the coupon code in heaven and said, hey, I have paid the price and made the way for them to be forgiven. That means there is no choice but for forgiveness to be operating in my life because the price has been paid. Amen? Okay? So he purchased our freedom. He purchased our redemption and forgave our sins and paid the price for our forgiveness. And this is what that means in the most simplest terms. Listen to me close. It means this. In the very layman's, the simplest way that I can break this down is redemption simply means this. It means that Jesus has purchased or bought back from the domain of darkness. He has repurchased all of our lives. All of our lives. And when I say all of our lives, I don't just mean all the people in this room, or all the people in Franklin County, or all the people in Brookville, or all the people in the world. He purchased all of your individual life. All of your life, every part of it. The part that you're happy to talk about, the part that you're ashamed to talk about. The part that you like to celebrate and remember, and the part that you wish you could someday forget. The part that you're proud of, the part that you're not so proud of. The good parts, the clean parts, the ugly parts, the dirty parts, and all the parts in between, Jesus has purchased from darkness all of your life. Redeemed it. Redemption. Sometimes I wonder if we don't think that God just wants the good stuff. And it's easy for us to believe that God wants the good parts, the good parts of us created, and we somehow try to keep the bad parts hidden. We try to keep the bad parts under wraps, or we try to put makeup on those parts, or we try to cover up those parts with money, or we try to cover up those parts with a smile and thank God. But listen, here's the reality. God purchased all of those parts. He looked at it, and here's what he said. He said, I'll buy it as is. I'll buy it as is. Is it broke down? I'll go ahead and buy it. Got flat tires? I'll buy it. Got some stuff in the engine not running right? I'll go ahead and buy it. Need some cosmetic work? I'll go ahead and buy it. Is this a fixer-upper? I'll go ahead and buy it. I'll just buy the whole thing. I'll buy it all. Friend, Jesus bought it all. Every part. He said, I'll buy it as is. If you let me, I'll work on it and bring it up to the kingdom life, the redeemed life, the red life. So what does that mean for us? But today, I want you to understand that this idea that ownership with redemption, ownership has been transferred. Ownership has been transferred. When I'm living for myself, essentially, whether I realize it or not, or recognize it or not, I'm in the kingdom of darkness. I'm my ownership, even though I may think it's all about me, my ownership is really, I'm under the domain of darkness. Jesus has transferred ownership through redemption to himself. Follow me so far? And this change of ownership that is implied with redemption, listen to me, this change of ownership that's implied with redemption means this. It means redemption changes everything. Redemption, the redeemed life, the red life, changes everything about that former life that was living in darkness. Amen? Redemption changes everything. Turn to everybody and say, redemption changes everything. Redemption changes everything. I want to talk about just a couple of areas that redemption changes. I've got like seven here. I don't think I'm going to have time to get to all of them, but I'm going to talk about a few of them here this morning. The first thing is this. The first area of your life that I believe redemption should start to change, or that we should ask God to begin to change, is this. Redemption should change my sound. Redemption should change my sound. I should talk differently, have a different sound about my life, because I've been redeemed and I have a new owner in Jesus Christ. Amen? How many believe it? I believe there should be a different sound coming out of me than comes out of someone who's not serving God and doesn't know Jesus. Amen? The world has a sound of negativity. The world has a sound of doubt. The world has a sound of fear. God bless, help us if the church sounds just the same. Amen? But see, the Bible says in Psalms, and I wrote it down so you can know I wasn't lying, Psalm chapter 30, verse 11, you know what Jesus said? The Bible says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. It means where I was sad, where I was down, where I was depressed, where I was anxious, where I was fearful, where I was full of regret and full of shame, guess what? He has turned that around and given me a new sound, and now I've got something to dance about. Amen? I mean, every Sunday morning we get here and we begin to worship and we get to sing songs to the Lord. Listen, do you know, guys, I don't want to offend and I don't want to make you mad, but we shouldn't need a group of, now we need the worship team because most of them sing better and play better than most of us do, and that's important because we want to make a joyful noise to the Lord, amen? But I shouldn't need a bunch of cheerleaders up here to make me worship out there. Amen? These guys should just be doing it louder than us and sounding better than us, but we shouldn't need them to convince us or coax us or prime the pump for us to get us to worship, because, friend, I woke up this morning redeemed. I woke up this morning forgiven. I woke up this morning not in the kingdom of darkness. I woke up this morning free. I woke up this morning with a God who loves me. I woke up this morning with a Savior who gave his life for me. I woke up this morning with a word that declares that by his stripes I have been healed. And I should have a sound that reflects that somewhere in my life. Amen? Now realize we all worship differently. You're not going to worship like me. You may not be as loud as me. You may not be as boisterous as the next person. You may not be as outwardly expressive as the next person. And that's fine. I'm not talking about an outward expression just for the sake of doing it, but I'm talking about what's coming out of your heart. And if the sound coming out of my heart is full of fear, doubt, worry, negativity, bitterness, gossip, envy, and what that tells me is that something in this redemption process is not making its way, it's not flowing properly in my life. Redemption should change my sound. Amen? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It means there's a sound of the redeemed that comes out of my life. Amen? And I know I'll just keep praying this and saying this and sharing this and prophesying this until it happens. But Red Life Church, I'm going to talk to Red Life Church for a second. Red Life Church, God has ordained a redemption sound from this house. There is a sound that God has called this house to make in this community. Amen? A sound that says Jesus is bigger than your fears. A sound that says God's love is bigger than your mistakes and your regrets. A sound that says God can redeem and restore and fix any situation. Amen? But we've got to be the ones to begin to make that sound. And when we begin to see redemption properly and we begin to live the red life, it will begin to change our sound. Say, redemption changes my sound. Say it again, redemption changes my sound. In fact, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to pray right now in the middle of this moment. God, every place that we're allowing fear to rule our sound instead of faith, change it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, every place in the name of Jesus where worry and doubt is controlling our sound, Lord, I pray that right now through the power of redemption, through the truth of redemption, God, let redemption, God, I pray that we would surrender ownership of our sound to you. In Jesus' name, change our sound, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You know what else redemption changes? Because I'm under new ownership, because I'm no longer under the ownership of darkness, guess what? Redemption changes my family. Redemption changes the way that I operate and the way that I work in family. Because now what I've recognized is this. I've recognized that not only that my family belongs to God, I have a new owner. Because I've been redeemed. Amen? Amen? Listen to me, parents. Your kids are not your kids, they're God's. Amen, somebody. Your kids are not yours. They belong to God. God has given them to you to lead, to train, to raise up, to steward, and to teach the things of God. But they don't belong to you. They belong to Him. And not only that, you know what the Bible says about family? Because they're your kids and your children and your grandchildren are His before they're yours, guess what? Jesus said in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, He said, your entire household shall be saved. Your entire household shall be saved. Let me tell you how this works. The entire household shall be saved, not just because if I'm saved, they'll all be saved, but because God says, when you surrender ownership of your family to me, it belongs to me, and I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to take responsibility of it, and I'm going to take ownership of it, my entire household shall be saved. Amen? If you're a mom or dad or grandma or grandpa in here and you got kids that aren't serving God, grandkids that aren't serving God, nephews and nieces that are going crazy, you just need to stand on that word in Jesus' name. Make that your prayer. My entire household shall be saved. Let that be the sound that you make. Amen? Redemption changes the way we look at family. Changes the way I look at my marriage, because my marriage doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. I'm a steward of it. Come on, somebody. Ownership has transferred. Ownership is not mine anymore. Okay? Guess what? Redemption changes how I spend my time, because I realize my days on this earth are numbered and my time doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And so I need to check with God how I spend my time. Am I spending my time in a way that's honoring God, that's expanding God's plan and God's vision on the earth? Amen? Because it's not mine. I belong to God. Redemption is going to change the way I look at my finances, because my finances aren't mine. They belong to God. You understand? See how this works? Redemption changes everything. When I realize that ownership has been transferred of my life from darkness to the kingdom of God, it changes everything. It changes the way, the filter that I see my entire world. My finances look differently because they're not mine. They're God's. I want to honor God with my finances. Now, this is great news, because the God that they belong to is a God who knows no lack. It's the God who says, I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Amen, somebody. So who better to have ownership of my stuff than God, who says, I've got more stuff than you can ever imagine or that I'll ever need. There's no lack. There's not any stuff that I need that I don't have access to and don't have. Amen? Changes my finances. Here's what ultimately changes. This is going to set somebody free right now, and I'm almost done. When I realize redemption means a change of ownership and it changes everything, guess what? It changes my responsibility. Now, I'm still responsible for my life. I'm still responsible for the choices I make. But I realize that ultimately, when I am trusting God through redemption to own my life, to have ownership of my life, guess what that means? That means that responsibility for my future isn't on me. It's on Him. As long as I'm trusting, my responsibility is to trust Him, to follow Him, to honor Him. And because He's the owner, He said, I'll take care of the rest of it. Amen? How freeing is that? To realize that you, by your own power, are not responsible to make things happen in your life. You're responsible to trust God and obey God. And He said, when you do that, I'll make the stuff happen. Amen? That can begin to make you live life with such freedom. Because you're now free to trust God. You're now free to operate in faith. You're now free to take that risk that maybe you were afraid of, but you know God's got on your heart to do it. But I'm not responsible. Ultimately, He is. I'm responsible to obey. He's responsible to make it happen. Amen? The last thing I want to talk about real quick. That redemption changes. Redemption, possibly the most powerful thing that redemption can change. Understand this transfer ownership. Redemption changes where or how I receive my value. Because Jesus purchased me as is. And so redemption changes my value. Because no matter how crappy of a life I may feel I have, no matter how worthless or shameful I may feel, Jesus has said to me, you're worth my life. That's the price I'll pay for you. Got here a semi-crisp. It's been in my sweaty pocket now for a minute or two, so it's not as crisp as it was. It's a little moist. Just wanted to work that word into a message someday. It's been a dream of mine. I won't say it again. My wife is giving me a nod like, stop. I got a $20 bill. What's this worth? This is not a trick question. This is not about global inflation or anything. Just, what's this worth? $20. Now, if I give it, I'm not going to give it, but if I give it to someone right now, you might touch it and be like, ew, it's kind of gross because it's a little, you know, sweaty. It's been shoved in my pocket this whole time. Just because it might feel a little gross, what's it still worth? Right. What if I take this $20 bill, crumple it up, throw it on the floor, walk past it, forget about it, step on it. Didn't roll the right way. Step on it, walk past it, keep on preaching, just live my life, forget that it's there. What's it worth? What if I take this $20 bill, throw it outside in the street, let it get run over with cars, rained on, mud slapped on it, snow, sleet, let the elements beat it up, let the corners get tattered, rip it, take little pieces apart from it. What's it going to be worth? See, the value of this bill is not based on what's been done to it, but its value has been based upon what a higher power has declared it to be. $20. And redemption means that Jesus has declared your value and my value in heaven with His life. And so redemption means that I don't any longer have to base my worth or my value on things that have been done to me. I can base my value on what God has done for me in heaven and who He has said I am in heaven. See, I could even take, now I'm not going to because I need this $20 bill later, but I could rip this $20 bill up in a couple of pieces. I could take it to the bank. They would give me a brand new one because no matter what I do to it, isn't going to change its value. And some of us, Christians, non-Christians alike, we live our lives and we gauge our self-value, we gauge our worth, we gauge what we're worth based on what life has done to us. Some of life has been harsh to you. Some because of your own decisions, some because of things you had nothing to do with or could not control. And so you think, well, this must be my worth because of what's been done to me. But redemption lets me know that Jesus has done something for me that is greater than anything that's ever been done to me, and it doesn't change my value no matter what's been done to me. Redemption changes that. Amen. Stand all over this place this morning. Now, to receive full redemption, the only way for me to completely experience redemption is for me to completely surrender ownership. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where things will get lost in the in-between. This transfer from darkness to light, from my own kingdom, which is a kingdom of sin, to the kingdom of God. What makes the difference between me completely experiencing redemption is whether or not I will completely surrender ownership. Because as long as I am still holding on to ownership of my life, that is an area I am telling God I don't need you in. And He has chosen to never violate our own free will. So as long as I'm in it, got an area of my life, I'm telling God I don't want anything to do with you here, God will say, okay, and I'll be on my own. And then I could beat my head up against the wall because I'm looking in the Word going, see, I don't know about y'all, but when I see in the Word where God has declared something that belongs to me that I should have in my life, I want it. And I know that there's nothing wrong with God's Word. There's always a problem with me. And so I'm going, okay, God, if something's not operating in my life, then there's either something I'm doing wrong, there's maybe some area that I'm not surrendered in, or there's something I don't know. So God, whatever it is, help me to find it. Now, this isn't a one-time, one-step process where you come to the altar and go, okay, God, I surrender all. And we sing the song, I surrender all. Listen. When you're surrendering all for that day. But in a few more days, maybe a few more months, maybe a few more years, you keep serving God, you're going to find out there's a whole bunch of stuff I still need to surrender. God, I can't tell you how many times I've surrendered it all. And I thought, okay, God, I've finally completely surrendered ownership. And then Lord's like, well, what about this? And I'm like, I'm going to hold on to that for a while still. Until I get desperate enough to go, okay, God, this isn't working. I got to surrender that area too. So I'm not here to say, I want you to make a decision. I got to make a decision. I'm going to have to make a decision today to say, Lord, whatever needs to be surrendered, I want to surrender my life to experience redemption. And then tomorrow, I got to get up again and say, God, I want to walk in the red life today. So Lord, help me to surrender every area of ownership to you. Amen? But every area where I hold back is an area where God's hands are going to be tied and where redemption fully won't be realized in my life. Friend, that is the journey. That is the process. That is Christianity. That is the red life. The red life has so many blessings and so many benefits, but it's also a continual process of surrendering ownership so that we can grab onto it, lay hold of it, and have it operating in our lives. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning in this place?
If you are in this place this morning and you're far from God, you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now to begin to experience redemption. And maybe the Lord is dealing with you about some areas of surrender. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. But if you're in this place today and you're like, man, I don't know this Jesus. I don't know that I've ever really been redeemed. I don't know that I've ever asked the Lord to redeem my life. Or maybe you have and you went away from it. It never impacted you. You never made any more decisions based off it. Listen, I want you right now in this moment to say you have an opportunity. And there may be no hands go up. That's fine. We may all be in this place this morning. And we all may know Jesus. And if that's the case, then this week we better go find some people that don't know Jesus and invite them to come back with us next week. Amen? Amen? But if you are here today, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. That's the public sign that I'm going to ask you to make because I can't explain it. I can just tell you that when I respond publicly to what God is doing privately, it brings those two moments together and just seems to cement that moment in my life. In my life. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to walk down front. You can, but it doesn't mean you have to. But I'm going to ask you to respond publicly, but raise your hand for just a moment. In just a moment. If you're in this place, you say, man, Pastor Justin, I want to know this Jesus. I want to experience that redemption you're talking about. I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about that died for me. I'm going to give you that opportunity. But here's what you need to know first. Before I ask you to raise your hand and ask you to say yes, because I know if that's where God's talking to you right now, there are a billion different thoughts that are flooding your mind right now. The enemy is bringing up everything from your past to telling you why you shouldn't accept this and why this isn't for you, why God hates you and why God's angry with you. And let me just tell you right now, number one, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. God himself became a man. His name was Jesus, and Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He lived the life of perfection that all of us, according to God's law, are required to live, yet none of us, because of sin, could ever dream to live. Jesus fulfilled both of those on this earth. And then he died the death that we deserved to die because of that sin, took our place. He took your place. And he did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves you. Romans says, this is how you know God's love for you, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. That's how you know. So he loves you. He's not mad at you. In fact, he's been waiting for this moment. If this is in fact your moment, he has been waiting for this moment to restore you, to redeem you, and to bring you home with him where you belong. So without any further ado, without it beleaguering this anymore, if you're in this place this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to experience redemption. I want to know him today. I've walked away from him, or I've never known him. Will you just raise your hand right now? Raise your hand all over this room. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Heaven's about to get bigger. Everyone in this room, pray with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, well, I don't need to pray it. Well, pray it for the person next to you that needs somebody to pray it with them. Say, Jesus, come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross. You rose again, and you did that because you love me. You took my place because you love me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come live on the inside of my heart. Make me the new creature that you have called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Just like your word says you would do, make that real. Bear witness with our spirit that moment is real. In Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, I pray that we would be a people that lets redemption change everything. Lord, let us live every day through the lens of redemption. God, let us see our families redeemed. God, let us see our time redeemed. God, let us see our value and our worth redeemed in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that we would do that as we become a people that every day allows ourselves to be surrendered completely to your ownership. And Lord, I pray right now, any area of our hearts that you're dealing with that we need to surrender to you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. God, and if you don't want us to do that because you're a jerk and because you want to keep things from us, God, you ask us to surrender because you want to bring something to us. You want redemption to be made available across the board in every area of our lives. So Lord, help us to surrender every area of ownership to you and experience full redemption in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.